So the weekend goes very fast. So we are already in the end. So I've really enjoyed being together with him. It's been a great time. Okay, let's go to John chapter 2. This morning I'd like to speak. I'll say a word in church that is not very common in church anymore. And many Christians, they don't like that word anymore. But it's still a very fundamental thing in the Bible. And as a Christian, and I believe that very much. So you ready to hear? Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, thank you that we will take the written word and make it the living word into our lives this morning. Thank you that you will touch us. Thank you that you speak to us in a great way and in a strong way in the name of Jesus. So I want to speak to you about obedience. It's a good word. You say obedience.
Obedience.
Amen. So obedience has been, of course, misused in the church, which I think all of us, we know, for leaders to do a lot of wrong things. But that's not what we are talking about today, because I want to talk about your obedience and my obedience to the Word of God for the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and that we will do the things that we read, hear, and also are impressed by the Holy Spirit in our lives, upon our lives, that we will obey it and we will do it. Because we don't want to only be hearers of the word, we want to be doers of the word. Amen?
Amen?
It is as we hear the word and we take action that it will help us. I was very encouraged by, I forgot your name, he told me yesterday how God gave him a big piece of land in Malawi. He heard the word, it became the Rhema word, and when he acted upon the word, the inheritance became his. Amen.
Amen.
So you and I, we have a great inheritance in the Bible. I mean, normally, I'll not tell this story to very many people, but I feel that I've come to know you quite well this weekend, so I'll tell you this story. Because many people, they think that is like bragging, that is like making yourself big. But when my father had a problem with drinking, my early years, but then I had a big brother who stayed. And my big brother, after seeing what was happening in my family, he really decided that he wanted to do very, very well. And he did very, very well, so he became extremely rich. Not just a little rich, he became extreme rich. If you can think about something extreme, that is what he was. He was rich, rich. Something that most of us, we can only imagine that it would be. So, he was a bit older than me. So when he came a little up in his age, he died. He was not married. And I don't know if you do that in your country, in England, that when people, they die, you come together as a family. You do that, yeah? And also, I think we do that everywhere. So we sit down and we are all sorry. But I mean, we were sitting there. And I know this is only Danish people who will do things like that. So eventually, someone will come up with the question, who's going to inherit it? But I know you're more holy than that. But at least in my family, somebody just put it out on the table. We could not wait anymore. So who's going to inherit him? This guy, my brother, he was so stinking rich. So we went to the lawyer. We came to the lawyer. And we were sitting around the table. The lawyer, he was sitting at the end. And we were all waiting. What did he come up with? And when the lawyer took the paper, and he started to read up, my name was all over the place. It was not easy to be disappointed. It was not easy to be sad. When you see the will of your rich and wealthy brother, Your name is all the hope of the faithful. This is yours. This is yours. This is yours. Praise God. I had to go to the toilet and say, yes! But I know you don't do that. So here, I mean, you're looking at a man today. I'm extremely rich because of him. Maybe you heard about him. Maybe you know him because he's a famous guy.
Yes.
He was known all over the world. His name was Jesus Christ. Yeah. He gave me a great inheritance. Amen. All this is mine. When I tell this story, I can see many people that this is my day. I want to talk with him after the meeting. But okay, we laugh at it, but it's still the truth.
Yes.
This is called the New Testament and the Old Testament. It is my inheritance. Yes. So you see, when we go to a lawyer to find out what is in the inheritance, we do want to make sure that we read it carefully because we want to make a claim on everything that belongs to us. Do we read the Bible in the same way? Maybe we should. Because it all belongs to me. And it all belongs to you. And it is given to you for free. Because he died. And he paid the price so that all of it could come to you. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a big hand for that. So I was reading here not long ago, and I was really reminded of something that Jesus' mother was saying to some servant at a wedding. And here we have, in John chapter 2, we have the wedding. In the land of, what, how do you call that? Canaan. So, we know that when we invite people for a party, we don't want to be short of food and we don't want to be short of drinks. That's like an embarrassment. So that is what happens at this party. They had too little to drink. So they wanted Jesus to do a miracle. So his mother comes up, and what I want to focus in is on verse 5. If we can get that up. Then the mother says to the servants, whatsoever he asks you to, he tells you to do, do it. That is obedience, isn't it? So all of us who are in here, born again, we are servants of God. And the voice of the Holy Spirit is still to this day, whatever he says for you to do, do it. Your obedience to the Word of God, your obedience to the inner speaking of the Holy Spirit in your life will take you further and longer than your brain and understanding will ever be able to take it. Could our brother, could he ever imagine how to get a big piece of land in Malawi when he's not even living there? He's not even having money. Could he ever think that out or imagine that? No, but when he was obeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit, God opened the way. And I believe that when we obey the Holy Spirit and when we obey the Word of God and continue to walk in obedience, God is opening up doors. He's opening up opportunities. He's opening up for blessings into our lives. Amen? Jesus, he was a man that all his life walked in complete obedience. I can remember the first time that I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and I made a decision to act upon the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I was just born again a few months before. I was sitting in my room in the place where I was living, and I said to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, just tell me what to do today. Have you ever done that? It's a good thing to do. Just speak to me and I'll do whatever you say. And I felt that the guidance of the Holy Spirit to drive to the hospital. and to that was the mental institution. There I would meet someone that I would go to tell about Jesus. So I took my bike, I drove there, and I knocked the door. I came in and I sat at a table here, and a young woman came and sat on the other side of the table. I can still remember her name. Her name was Jane. And as we were talking together, I shared what God had done in my life. And suddenly she just disappeared from my eyes. And I felt, I sat just next to Jesus. He was on the side. And it gave a great passion in my heart to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. I think she was blessed, but I was really blessed. I did not have to run on my pedal on the way home because my bike could run by itself. I was so excited. And I heard the Holy Spirit. I obeyed the Holy Spirit and I had a great experience in God. And that has been a desire in my heart since that day to obey the Holy Spirit. And I want to just give that to you today, that we as a church, we as a group, we as individuals, we as families, if we would obey the Holy Spirit, we would see great things. There are so many people out there, the harvest is ready, the harvest is white, the harvest is already ready. What does he need? Workers. He needs servants that will do whatever he says. Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is interested in reaching people through you. So Jesus, he's our greatest example of obedience. And his obedience became my obedience. Amen.
Amen.
We have to walk in that obedience. Let's just go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We were touching on it, I think, yesterday. Chapter 6, verse 25. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. If we can obey 100%. Yesterday we saw that 100% obedience is the same as being holy. 100% obedience is wholeness and being perfect. Amen. Jesus, he came to fulfill the law. Not to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law on our behalf, on your behalf, on my behalf. So let's just go through Jesus' obedience here. So that you can see that from the day that he was born, he obeyed the law. We cannot read up all the scriptures, but I'll just say them if you want them for your notes. In Luke 1, 26, 27, it says, Jesus, he was born of a virgin. Why did Jesus have to be born of a virgin? It's very important because God needed to be the Father. We know the blood comes from the man. If he was just born out of a natural relationship between a man and a woman, he would not be free of sin. But he was free of sin. That's very important that you and I, we believe in the virgin birth. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, we have no gospel. We have nothing to share. We have nothing to give. But he was born of a virgin. Amen.
Amen.
And I think what we have to understand is that the Bible is written, and there are so many eyewitness confirmations in the New Testament that it is incredible. It is more well proved than many other historic events in the history. It is seen, because they are all saying this, many of, when they start the epistles, they say, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have heard with our own ears, what we have touched with our hands. This was first-hand eyewitness. Not just one, but hundreds. Our faith is based on solid ground. Because many, they will attack our faith and say that just like a fairy tale, it is not proven. But history even proves that Jesus, he was born and lived on this world. In Luke 2:21, it says that he was circumcised on the eighth day. Why? Because the Jewish law says that all men, or all male that opens up mother's womb has to be circumcised on the eighth day. So why was he circumcised? To fulfill the law. To obey the law. After 40 days, according to the law, he had to be shown in the temple. If you look in Luke 2:22-24. When he was 12 years of age, Luke 2:40-50-52, when he was 12 years, he was shown in the temple, because that was the time, according to the law, when a Jewish boy, he became a man. In Matthew 3, we know the story. When Jesus, he was baptized, they had this small argument, who is going to baptize who? And then Jesus said, you baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. Or in other words, so that I can obey the law and fulfill the law. In Matthew 4, it says that he is doing the will of God. In John 8, we see that they have caught this woman in adultery and they want to throw stones at her. And we know Jesus is writing on the ground. And then it says, the one of you who are free of sin, you can cast the first stone. And they went away, the oldest first. And the only one who was left with that woman was the one without sin. You see, he was sin free. And he was the only one in that whole group that had the right to throw a stone. Maybe that should speak something to us as churches before we want to throw stones at people. Yeah. The only one who has the real right to throw stones at people is Jesus Christ. But he didn't do that. He said, woman, I do not condemn you, but go away and do not sin anymore. He did not say, it's great what you're doing, it's great that you just sleep around, it's great what you, the life you live. He said, no. Go away and do not sin anymore, but I do not condemn you. Amen. That is the heart of God, I believe. In John 18, it says that he was, according to the law, when you had the sheep or the goat that was going to be sacrificed, it had to be looked at for like 3 days. So everyone could walk around and see if this was like an animal that was without fault. Because they could not bring a hog. They could not bring a blind, they could not bring a deaf, they could not bring one with only one ear or one eye. It has to be a complete one. So Jesus, he was looked at by the high priest, Cephas. Pilate, when he came to him, he said in John 18, I do not find any defect in this man. I do not find anything that is wrong in this man. In other words, this is a perfect man. This is a complete man. You remember when Jesus, he was preaching in Nazareth where he was raised and they wanted to throw him out of the cliff. He just walked away in the midst because nobody could take his life because he gave his life. You could not kill a man like that. Amen. So the obedience of Jesus became our obedience. I can walk in that obedience. He has given me that obedience. I have the power to say no to sin. I have the power to say no to wrong. I have the power to walk in his righteousness and in his obedience exactly as he did. He has given it to me. Amen. Righteousness has been given to me. Holiness has been given to me. Obedience has been given to me because of his complete work on the cross. Yeah. In Mark chapter 14, I just want to show you something here which I think is incredible. We know that Jesus, he was interrogated by by the high priest and his people, and also by Pilate. But you see, Jesus, he did not rise up against his authorities, but he was obedient to his authorities. But what he would do in every circumstance, Mark 14, and we read verse 61 and 62. Or we read from verse 60, can we take 62? Verse 60 to 62. The high priest rose up and asked Jesus and said, "Do you have nothing to answer to those people who are witnessing against you?" They were accusing him of different things. But what does the Bible say? He was silent and he did not say anything. Jesus did not have He did not have to be right. He did not have to defend himself as we often want to do, so we can have a good feeling about ourselves. He was already feeling good. He already knew that he was obeying. He already knew that he was walking in the Father's obedience. So, but then something else is happening here. Then the high priest asked him again and says to him, "Are you Christ, the highly beloved Son, blessed Son?" And Jesus said, "Yes, I am." If you read through the New Testament, you will see that Jesus, he always confirmed his identity. He did not go into arguments with them, but he would always confess, "I am." Amen? I am the Son of the Most High God. You just said it. I am. The temptation when he came into the wilderness, what was the temptation? First temptation. If you are. Do you really think that you are? Yes, I am. Second temptation. Do you really think that you are? And your temptation and my temptation is the same. Do you really think that you are the beloved Son of God? Do you really think that he loves you as a daughter? Do you really think that you have all things in Christ? What will you say with your mouth? What will you confirm with your mouth? Yes, I am. When we start to say and confirm what the Bible says about us, we release a great power into our lives. When we agree with what the Word says, see, God has already decided what he believes about you and me. He believes you're perfect. He believes you're obedient. He believes that you're righteous. He believes that you are holy. What do you believe? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'll say it this way, as a man thinks in his heart, that is also what he can do. As a man thinks in his heart, that is also what he can become. Yes, I am. I am the Son of God. I am the Beloved One. I am the one who Jesus loves. You see, in our church world, that's almost blasphemy. Is it true? If you go into most churches today and say, "God loves me, and he favors me, I'm his favorite. I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ before God." You get a problem in most places. Is it true? Is it true? But that is actually what the Bible says. Either I'm forgiven or I'm not forgiven. You see, in the Old Testament, when I was a boy, my mother had a very nice table. It was a wood table. So one day, something happened. We took a glass of very cold drink and we put it on the table. No! There's a ring. And that ring, she could not get it away. No matter how much she tried to get it away, no matter how much she was polishing, no matter how deep she went, that ring was there. That is the Old Testament. It's not going away. So the Old Testament comes up with an idea that's covered. But there's only one problem with it. My mother, she knew that under this one, there's a ring. She could fool everybody. And we all thought this is a fantastic table. And she had like a small piece of cloth that she could put in different places and different ways, but that ring was still there. The New Testament is not just only covering our sins. What does the Bible say? My sin is removed as far. Not just covered. My sin is removed. Disappeared. As far as east is from the west, as north is from the south. It is gone. It is no longer me. I've got a new table. Let's throw this table out and let's put a new one in. Let's get rid of the old life and let's give a new life. Amen. That is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, they covered the sin again and again and again. But in the New Testament, the sinner needs to die. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's kill that pig, if we go back to the picture of the other day. Let's destroy it. Hallelujah. God is good. So as the children of God, our biggest passion and desire should be to do exactly as He asked us to do. I have this sentence ringing inside of me. Whatever He asks of you to do, do it. Whatever He asks of you to do, do it. Was it Jesus? Man, you see, in the church, we have this misconception. We think that God is going to do it. God do this, God do that. He has done everything. Whatever He say to you, do it. That's our job. His job is to give the commands. His job is to speak to us. His job is to tell us. Our job is to be the servants and do it. Maybe that's why you're not seeing much prosperity. Maybe that's not why we don't see many people saved. Because we're waiting for God to do it. But we are here on this earth and He's expecting you and I to do it. Amen?
Amen.
As He asks you to do, do it. Rise up from your chair. Rise up from your situation and start to do the work of God. Yeah, but that's why we are hiring a pastor. But I have good news. We are not the hired pastor in this church. Is it true?
That's
true. No, that means you have to do it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
We are all priests. We are all pastors. We are all leaders. I believe that all of us are leaders. Yeah, but I'm not leading anybody. You're leading yourself.
Yeah.
And many times that's the most difficult person to lead.
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Is it true? Yeah. So if we can be experts in leading ourselves, we will be well down the road also to lead other people. Praise God. I remember, let's go to John 5:19. Very important verse in the Bible. Jesus says, I say to you that I cannot do anything of myself, but I can only do what I see the Father do. For what He does is also what I do. It is not based upon my own power and intelligence. It is based upon what I see, hear my Father in heaven do. That is what I do. That is the secret to, for the success in Jesus' ministry. And I believe it will be the success in each one of our ministries for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can hear Him, if we can see Him, if we can feel Him, if we just imitate Him. When we were children, we were imitating our fathers. We were imitating our mothers. And God wants you and I to imitate Him. And maybe you think, what if it's not functioning? What happens if I'm blowing up the whole thing? So I'll give you another question. What if it does function? And you never found out that it did? We have nothing to lose. I remember maybe 15 years ago, I had a magazine coming in the door. And when I got the magazine, there was a group of people on the outside of the magazine. When I saw the magazine, I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, the person that you see on this magazine, I want you to contact him. So how can I contact a man that I don't know? So I looked into the magazine, I found out his name was Alex. And he was from Ghana, and he was in Denmark as a missionary and working with youth with a mission. So I found out where he was. I took the phone, I called to the youth with a mission base and said, I would like to speak with the man that is on the picture. They said, which one? They said, the one in the middle to the left. Oh, that's Alex. I got to speak with Alex. So Alex, when I spoke with him, I said, this is what I felt that the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, I have been praying for 1 year in this city for a new church to start. And we had just started a new work there with one person, my brother-in-law. And he had been walking around the city for 1 year and praying God to open up a new church. So he joined us, and we continued to pray in that city, and now we have a church there. Amen? Then he moved on and married a German lady, and he started a church in Germany, in Finland, just across the border. See, that was just out of obedience. It was not something that I tried to make up. I heard the Holy Spirit, and I believe that we hear the Holy Spirit more often than we think. I believe that He, do you think that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us just once a year? Once a month? Every day? Yes. Amen. He's a person. He can be a friend. And if we were more sensitive to His guidance and His leading and His words, we'll see many miracles. We'll see many people saved. Amen. I'm totally convinced about that. A few years, this was actually back in 1993, and this couple, they are still members of our church. We had had a guest speaker in our church. I was driving him to the train station. So as I dropped him at the train station, I saw a couple with two small children walking on the sidewalk. And when I passed by them in the car, I felt the Holy Spirit said, go and invite them home for coffee tonight. I said, how can I invite strangers into my house for coffee? What will they think? So I said, okay, no, I'm not doing it. So I just continued to hear the Holy Spirit, invite them home for coffee. And then I went back again. They were still walking down. Invite them home for coffee. So I decided, okay, I'll go to the mailbox. And the moment I'll just pretend that I'm putting something in, and when I get back to the car, that would be the moment that they are next to my car. And when they were next to my car, I said, my name is Kim, I'm a pastor, and I'd like to invite you home for coffee. And then they said, yes, we are coming. They were Muslims. And they had just arrived that same day from Bosnia. Because of the war that was going on in the former Yugoslavia. That was their first day in our city. And they came. And I did not know what to say to them because they had lost everything and just went into their car and drove up from Poland and came into Denmark. And the only thing I could say is that God will restore everything back to you. 3 months later, they gave their life to Jesus.
Wow.
He decided, I will not receive Jesus before I have read the whole Bible. So he read the whole Bible, and then he decided, I will receive Jesus. They're faithful members of our church. Some of the first members in our church. Amen?
Amen.
Just obedience. I would never know. That's why I believe Jesus. He says, the harvest is white. And the harvest is big.
Yeah.
The problem is not the harvest. The problem is the workers.
Yeah.
But we have many here. If we harvest one next year, we'll have doubled our congregation. It's totally possible.
Yeah.
It is totally possible.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I only do what I see my Father in heaven do. Jesus obeyed all through his life, and that brought a great blessing to us. Let us read here in John 8. And we read verse 28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one that I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Look how few problems we would have in church if we all of us only spoke what we heard the Father taught us to speak. Let's obey God. Let us obey the Holy Spirit. Your obedience will not only bless you, but your obedience to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God will always also bless your family, your children, your church, and the future generations. God is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is thinking generationally. And the blessings that you or the obedience that you act on today will bless your children tomorrow and in the month and the years to come. There are some decisions that you need to make. Sometimes you have to make those decisions quick. I remember our boy Samuel when he was just before in the late teenage years, he was struggling a little. Really, he wanted to follow God, but there were so many other things that was drawing his attention. And then we had the opportunity to send him to a boarding school, a Christian boarding school. But that was starting next week, and it would cost a lot of money. But my wife and myself, we just felt this is an opportunity. This is a chance for us to do something good for our son that will bless also the future. Took a car, drove up for the interview, he came in. I mean, he married one of the girls that he met there. They live life where they want to serve God. I just wondering, what if I was not obeying when I had that chance? You see, all of us, we get to those points in life where we need to make a decision, the right decision. Not the most comfortable decision, but the right decision. Not the most logical decision, but the right decision. The decision that we have seen our Father in heaven make. Amen? Let's go to John 4. Jesus, he's saying, when the disciples come back to him after he had been speaking to the woman at the well, he says in 4:34, my fruit is to do his will, the one who sent me, and to fulfill and finish his work. Tell us what is satisfying. What is satisfying us as Christians? Is it to obey God? Amen? Is it to do our own thing? Is it to have our own way? Is it to see the next film? Is it to know the latest music? Is it to have the better job? Is it to, you know, all the things? Or is it our food? What is satisfying us deep in our hearts to obey God? God wants to give you all the other things, but obedience comes first. Amen? So let's obey God. Let's do that with the best of our ability. Let's go to Matthew 26. And he was going a little farther. Maybe you are here in this weekend, and maybe you have to take a little farther. The Holy Spirit is calling people in here. Today is to take a little step further.
Yeah.
A little step deeper.
Yeah.
You feel comfortable where you are now. You're going to heaven. No question about that. But take a little step further. Take a little step deeper.
Yeah.
Just move a little. What is it that Jesus is saying here? Is it possible that this cup will pass by me? But not again, not my will, but your will. Not what I want, but what you want. I want to be obedient. Amen.
Amen.
I love this little phrase in the beginning, a little step further. Sometimes the only thing that will take you a little step further is obedience. Because your feelings, they will scream, no. Your emotions, they will say, no. Your understanding will say, that will never do. But just take a little step further. When we are disobedient, we can just look at Adam in Genesis. What did disobedience lead to? It led to selfishness. It led to carnality. It led to fear. It led to accusations. And so on, you know, the whole list that came out of that. Maybe you as a father, maybe you as a man in your family, you need to take a little step further. I'll say something that maybe will provoke many. And I'm not too happy to say it to my own flesh too. But I have realized that the most problem, I'll say 99 out of 100, the man has the problem in the marriage. If he would take a little step further, many other things would be solved. But why am I always the first one to apologize? But maybe you never thought like that. That's your responsibility. To take one step further. To deal with it. To do something about it. Amen? To obey. Not accuse her. Not put blame on her. But do exactly as Jesus did and not as Adam did. It was her. We take responsibility. Amen? We lead. And I've decided I want my children to see me lead. I want my children to see I can apologize. I want my children to see that I'm fanatic worshiping God. They can see that I'm a human. They can see that I'm making mistakes. But I want them to see that I want to bow down before Jesus Christ. And I even want to bow down in front of my wife, their mother. Because I want that thing to succeed. Amen.
Amen.
I need to take that little step forward. I need to take that action and make it good. Amen.
Amen.
That's our responsibility as men. So that was a little man's talk. Okay, in 1 Kings 17, two last scriptures, we have this widow. And we see the prophet comes to her. And the prophet says, I mean, this widow is dying. She has only enough to make a bread for herself and her son, and then they will lay down to die. Then the prophet says something to her that is incredible to the human mind. He says, I know what you're saying, but when you go and bake the bread, bake one and give it to me first. That is not what we want to hear. Is it true? That is not what we want to hear in our natural mind. But as the Holy Spirit spoke into her life, and she took one step and obeyed the word of God coming from the prophet, God started to bless her. Amen? Your blessing, I believe, is in your obedience. The blessing that you're looking for, not obedience to a man, not obedience to a woman, but obedience to the word of God, obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit into your life. Sometimes it can come through men and women. But it is the word of God. Do this, and you will be blessed. That is what happened to this woman. As she acted, as she took one step further, and she made the first bread and gave it to God, a miracle took place. I really love the story that our brother, he told us here. A miracle took place when he acted. A miracle took place when he took up the phone and acted upon the word that he heard on television and said, this is my inheritance. This is my day of payment. Let's say actually what you said. This is my inheritance. I deserve this. Amen. This is mine. This belongs to me. And they said, yeah, of course. And who is the owner now? He is. When he acted on the word. How did this woman move into blessing? When she acted upon the word that God spoke to her. Let us finish with this scripture again, which we have read before during the week. It is Paul before the king at Agrippa. And he's saying, in verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, Paul, he said, I have done everything that you have shown. I have walked in integrity. I have walked in obedience to that vision, to that word that you spoke to me. If you as a church, all nations church in Leeds, if you will walk in integrity, if you will walk in unity, if you will walk in that vision, and if you will obey that vision, nothing is impossible. If you as individuals, if you as a church will take that one step further, nothing is impossible. If you will act upon that vision that God has placed in your heart, in the hearts of the leaders of this church, in the heart of this church, breakthrough will happen. In a stronger way than you have ever seen before. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let us just stand to our feet.